Welcome to Teaching in 10, a podcast from the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning at the University of Northern Iowa. Teaching in 10 provides a space for higher education faculty to share teaching strategies and stories about how we engage students and support student success and well-being in 10-minute episodes. I'm Sarah Montgomery, and today I am thrilled to welcome Lindy Rulefsa to the podcast. Lindy is the T. Wayne Davis Chair of Entrepreneurship at the University of Northern Iowa John Papajohn Entrepreneurial Center. She has taught all of the classes in the entrepreneurship minor that address topics such as finance, general entrepreneurship, and growth strategies. Part of Lindy's role includes supporting student entrepreneurs, and currently there are 10 students engaging in purposefully growing their own businesses through the R.J. McElroy Incubator. Lindy is also on the core steering team for the Black Business Entrepreneurship Accelerator, which started in September 2020 and to date has graduated 30 students. 100% of the students have increased their sales since graduating, and 25% have been growing double or triple digits. Lindy was born in Africa and has lived or studied on 4 different continents. Thank you so much, Lindy, for being on the podcast. I'm excited to learn from you. And I've got to ask, Lindy, how do you engage students and support their success in your teaching?
Thank you so much for inviting me to come visit with you here, Sarah. I just love your podcast, especially because it gives us an opportunity to have asynchronous conversations with people in different disciplines.
Yes.
Who care about different things that all serves the same student body. Mm. So thank you so much for the treasure that you're putting out into this world so that we can also have conversations with people we may not run into.
Absolutely.
Our usual circles.
Oh, yay. It all comes together.
It does. How do I engage students? I believe that one of the things that I do is I throw them in the deep end of the pool and then we see if we can swim. And we have lifeguards and we have gear and we have pool noodles at the side, but we try and see what is possible.
Okay.
And the reason why we do that, not just for the sake of engaging in a different way where it's a little more scary mm-hmm. or a little more challenging mm-hmm. than the typical lecture kind of format, but a part of it is because my background, my journey back to academia has been through nonprofit government executive positions where I see the challenges, the wicked problems that exist in the world.
Okay.
And I see what we need is not only the people who are at the top of big corporations making the decisions, but also people who are living in small town Iowa, people who are middle management, people who are all across. What are their opportunities to get the tools to deal with some of the most wicked problems that we care about? And every one of us care about different things because of the lived experiences that we've had. But someplace, somewhere, we need to have a space to come together to get the tools to increase the chances of making progress. Mm. So what I hope is anytime someone walks out of my class at the end of the semester, they feel a little more equipped to have an impact in the world, do something that changed the world for the better. That's the goal.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, they don't love it when they're in the deep end of
it's
the
messy.
Pool necessarily. They get their hands literally dirty sometimes.
Oh, the struggle, right? But what can come from that?
Right, right. Mm. When I was an undergraduate, so my point of view when I was going on this journey, many of our undergrads are on, I was I needed to take a class called theater crafts, and it forced me to build sets. And I come from a culture where a female's role is not to handle power tools. That is for someone else. Mm. And the opportunity, and I didn't like it at first, but the opportunity to realize I did have the power to change, to create change, to build something, and I can see that manifest, was eye-changing to me. It was eye-opening to me, life-changing. And one of the things that we are doing tonight with our class is we're taking the whole class out to the TechWorks building in downtown Waterloo. And we're going to literally get our hands dirty by building some 3D prototypes.
Oh, my goodness.
For clients. So each of our student teams are trying to solve some problems for a real world entrepreneur that or nonprofit that is identified something that's important to them.
Okay.
And a part of our journey is we're still in the play phase. So maybe these prototypes don't manifest for much, but they're going to get a chance to see what are the tools that are out there that allows you to not have to outsource to someone else, but you can innovate. You can find solutions because it's getting cheaper and easier to build examples of what you mean with technology, with power tools that are shared, with maker spaces, with the software that's available for free very often on our computers.
Wow. What a rich experience for these students. And I love how it ties back to your experience as an undergrad in a theater class, because at first, right, when we think about entrepreneurship, some of us might not think that a theater class propelled you in the way that you're in. I mean, you're going to teach a class tonight in relation to that experience. So that is just really phenomenal and shows the power of an interdisciplinary approach, right?
Oh,
that's beautiful.
You are so hitting the nail on the head with that interdisciplinary. So often we get stuck in ruts because we're taught to do things in a certain way. And one of the things that I really hope our students get as many opportunities possible as is to interact with people who are coming with a different point of view, different set of values. Because if we can figure out how to meet them where they're at and they can hear where we're at, that is where we're going to be solving way more complex problems. That's where we go beyond simple and we can start to change the world by doing things that hasn't been done before, but may be necessary to focus on at this time.
Mm-hmm. And how do students respond to this approach? Because it seems so needed and hopeful and big. Right. I mean, even just the idea of what you're going to do tonight in class or even the larger ideas of finding common ground and working together, this is big.
Right. Right. And Anton, who's usually behind the mic here working with the audio section, he's actually one of the people who help us out with that. So one of the exercises pre-COVID that amazes me, and amazes the students themselves, is I give them the night at the library challenge. Okay. And they are not allowed to prepare for it. All they are informed is they need to bring something with them. So they don't know who the people on their class is. They don't know what the challenge is that they're going to be putting in front of them. And then once they show up, we give them this scavenger hunt, essentially. And basically what it means is they need to come together with people who have brought something else. I won't reveal the whole backstory there, but the objective of that is to get them to depend on each other, learn from each other, and they have five rotations that they need to complete over the course of 3 hours. The one rotation is right here in this lab where there is audio equipment and Anton is here helping them figure out how to do their very first podcast with some preparation, but not much. They have maximum 20 minutes to get that together. Then they go to Gail, who has the soft maker space in the library, where they get an opportunity to build a prototype around this idea or this product that they're promoting. And their challenge is to change the way people view that product. So sometimes they bring an egg and then they need to bring a fresh point of view on the egg. Or they have to promote a makerspace, which is a few weeks ago, and they use Legos to build out some aspects of it. Then we take them to the green screen where they need to do a 30-second promo intro, and they get to explore a little bit what that means with the green screen when you can have different screens, which we are getting really good at with this COVID Zoom. But this is pre-COVID as well. So they get an opportunity to do a call to action. And then, of course, we're in the library, so they visit with our librarian who will help them find resources really fast that are factual but can surprise you, but it can be verified so that it can bring a new dimension to whatever the product or the client is that they're serving during that class. And then there are so many other people around in the library. Some of them are waiting for someone to talk to. So we ask them to do some customer discovery. Mm. Talk to people about what are their needs around, for example, seafood. What is their perceptions on seafood? That's one of our current clients. So they get an opportunity to do a little customer discovery in a safe environment where they know that the people who are designated to help out with classes, if there's nobody sitting there, they're open to having a conversation and they get their first block of customer discovery done without having learned any theory, without having been, you know, briefed thoroughly on who their client is. They get an opportunity to explore, to be playful. And sometimes they're hard on themselves and they'd like to do it better, but it shows them how fast they can build something with technology, with a little help, mm-hmm. with a little expert mm-hmm. guidance to get the ball rolling. We don't have to spend, you know, 5 days planning a podcast. You yourself also were quite fast and efficient about sometimes in the moment, it energizes us and it gets us focused.
Yeah.
And I know some of the students are hard on themselves, but I've been so proud of every single team that has gone for it, done a podcast, even if they've never experienced it before. Maybe they've never listened to a podcast.
Maybe.
And now a new door has opened for them to gain information in different ways or for them to create something that they haven't created before.
This is over the top powerful. So first, I've got to say a thank you and shout out to Anton Ryder, who helps with the podcast, with the technology things. He knows everything. Thank you, Anton. Oh my gosh, what a gift to this world.
I echo that. They love him too. So
yes.
Oh, come check
gosh.
Him out.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, to just think about what you've shared, it's like you've got the power of the social connection of them working and solving these problems in teams and that being a social support piece too,
yes.
right? Because
yes.
in the end, we need one another and
right.
We don't solve problems alone or in a vacuum. It takes a village. And then I appreciate that you're using the resources here at the library, all the different things that we have to offer, but also I can only imagine the uncertainty that the students feel. This is your jump. You throw them in the pool, but the noodles are there. The floaty, we've got people. We've got your back. But you throw them in and to be able to create and be playful and to navigate that uncertainty, I would just think how much that helps with building confidence and, again, those problem-solving skills that relate so much to entrepreneurship. Wow.
Right. No, and the team of experts around it as well, I wouldn't be able to mm-hmm. offer that mm-hmm. In the same way that different people coming in and helping out with their area of expertise so that the students feel safe, so that the students can ask questions. Yes. And the feedback from the students themselves are really positive, really uplifting, really encouraging. And recently, another shout out to Anton, we won an award for this. Yes. So you and I got an award. It's called the 3E Award for experiential teaching exercises that helps us get students to a next level.
Oh, my goodness. Way to go, everyone.
Exactly.
This is awesome. Wow. Wow. Well, any other, as we start to wrap up, just any other bits of wisdom that you want to share or other ideas or inspiration for the folks that are listening as we continue to learn from you?
I've only had 4 words written down here on the page in front of me. And maybe I'll summarize what we just said in the context. It's a theory from Otto Scharmer. Basically, he says education 1.0 is when there was this sage on a stage that mm-hmm. had all this wisdom, that imparted this wisdom on anyone who considered themselves a learner or a student. And we've moved beyond that. We've gone, you know, to a new stage where there's education 2.0, where it is the discipline that is setting the goals and saying, how do we assess things? And that's really important too, because we want sages or we want people who are informed.
Mm-hmm.
We want disciplines to have some rules to structure things. And now most universities, when you look at how they promote themselves, are more at a education 3.0, where they're trying to say we're trying to be really responsive to the student learner. So it's more like the organization is starting to say, well, what what is the values that we have? We need to stay afloat financially. We need to serve the customer in the way that they perceive value to be. And what I'm hoping people think about, and I don't have the answer to this, but I am very intrigued by the question of this, is education 4.0, where you move towards how do we kind of serve like a midwife and coach our students through the birthing process of creating something new that hasn't existed before, so that they can see their own power, so that they can see they are capable of making a difference in this world. And I'm still piecing this together of how do we do this? Because it's hard. Mm-hmm. Laboring is hard by definition. But how do we support our students in figuring out why they are here and what is the difference that they can make, giving meaning to their life and giving meaning to society? So that's what I'm working on. I am curious to hear what other people have to say and how other people pursue that challenge as well, as we also reevaluate a lot about education with COVID and change and the role of technology in the changing landscape.
Oh my gosh. The metaphor of the midwife, that's going to really stick with me. I appreciate you sharing this. And to focus on what's possible.
Right.
Really focusing on what's possible. And also, I appreciate your emphasis of thinking, you know, beyond a student as an individual, but more about the collective and the impact that they can make, right? And how we can give them the tools and the confidence and the support to be the change. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for summarizing that so eloquently. That's exactly the goal.
Yes. My mind is going to be spinning. My heart is full. This is really awesome. Thank you. I'm so grateful that you're here at UNI.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to have these conversations. Because I think this matters. I think this is important.
It does. Wow. All right, listeners. Lindy, thank you so much for sharing with us on this podcast. And please feel free to subscribe and review us wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to tell your colleagues about the podcast. And until next time, thank you for joining us on Teaching in 10 from the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning at the University of Northern Iowa.